All right. Well, good to see you this morning. We're so thankful that you're here. We appreciate the opportunity that God gives us to come and worship and honor Him. We're, again, going to continue in the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. This is an important time, a time for us to hear the alarm. And we shared some last night at the beginning of Yom Teruah. We shared with you how important it is. Never been a better time in your life to hear the alarm. If you don't hear the alarm, you'll miss God. And we don't want anybody to miss the Lord at all. We want you to live out fully the relationship that you started with God. The Bible's clear. God said, I would that none perish. So God's not against you. He's for us. He's not against you. He's for you. He said, I would that none perish, but all will come to know Him. So that tells me something. He said that He sent His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Should not perish. So there's as much as we believe that there is a place that God has prepared for us, those who love Him, there's also a place for those who perish. And I don't want anybody in this room to perish. You don't have to. It's never God's intention for you to perish. But that'll be your choice. That's why He sounds an alarm. That's why we're talking about Yom Teruah. Now, I'm convinced of this, as I've been since we started this several weeks ago. There are many people that's never even heard the term Yom Teruah. Been in church for many years. And this is something that we're looking at, and we ought to, as I said before, when you come across these things in the Scripture, there's but one thing to do, and that's repent. Just repent before God and say, God, how could I have not seen how important this is? And so what we're going to do, it's not easy when I'm going through a series, and I have several different services that we're going to do, and then we have, since we started at a beginning, It's difficult to start again without covering some of the beginning, especially if you have folks that's never heard any of it. And we want you to be informed. I want you to leave here today informed about what God has promised you. But the Feast of Trumpets is the beginning. It's the first feast in the fall feast. And we talked about this last night. They have the spring feast. And I'll try to cover some of this throughout some of the slides that I'll show you. I think I went back and just put some of the review in there in these slides, and maybe you can see what we're talking about when it comes to the first of the fall feast. There's three feasts that are going to be taken care of in the fall. That's Yom Teruah, which is the Feast of Trumpets. That's the blowing of the trumpets or sounding the alarm. The next feast that'll take place, And I want you to understand, these have not been fulfilled yet. Everything else has been fulfilled. We have the Passover has been fulfilled. That's the spring feast. That's been fulfilled already. Christ came and He died. The next feast that's been fulfilled is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's been fulfilled. That's when He was buried. The next one is the Feast of First Fruits. That's when He rose again, the resurrection. That's been fulfilled already. And then the next one is the day of Pentecost, and that's been fulfilled, Shavuot. That's been fulfilled. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven, like a wind. And how many understood what I meant last night when I shared with you about the Ruach? The Ruach is the breath, that's what the Hebrew term for the breath of God. What did He breathe in Adam? When Adam was formed from the dust of the ground, He breathed into him. The Ruach, the breath of God. In the New Testament, we see it's pneuma. Pneuma is where we get our English word pneumatic, like a pneumatic tool. You got to hook the air hose to it or it doesn't work. How many of you know, unless you put the air through the trumpet, it doesn't blow. You might have a trumpet, but it doesn't make a sound. And how many of you know it takes a sound for an alarm? Right? When you put your phone on or whatever you use, you know, years ago, folks used an alarm clock, but hardly anymore. Folks got their phone right there. We can hardly get away from that thing. It's like it chases you. You know, and there's it. You set your alarm on the phone. Well, a couple of times I put my phone alarm on, and I didn't remember to fix the fact that I had turned it down. Well, it went off, but it had no sound. So it didn't do me a bit of good. I slept right on through the time I was supposed to get up. Does that ever happen to anybody? Has anybody ever had that happen to them? Well, I'm going to tell on my son a little bit. He puts his alarm on wide open and still sleeps through it. I went in and said, "What is that noise?" I said, "Ain't nobody can be alive in there. There's no way." Wah, wah, wah. Well, he was. He was alive. He was breathing. And I said, "Hey, oh." But he needed an extra sound. So I gave him daddy's voice. "Hey, boy, you coming?" But I've already had that happen where I sleep right through the time I was supposed to get up because I didn't have a sound. That's why Yom Teruah, God says, before he returns. And how many of you know he's coming back a second time? He's going to return. Before he returns, he's going to sound an alarm. It's called Yom Teruah. The trumpet's going to blow. And when it blows, you're going to know that it's him. And so we got some things to talk about today that I believe will help us. So if you're here today and you're just getting this for the first time, I'm going to do my best to catch you up with where we are so you'll see what this is all about. These are important times that we live in, and God wants us informed. Look at the next one, the spring Moedim. This is what we have. We have the Sabbath. We would say the Sabbath is Shabbat. It was always Shabbat, always throughout the scripture, even in the days of Jesus, all up until the end of the apostles. The word Sabbath never came into play till much later on, way after Jesus had ascended and the last apostles had been martyred, is the word Sabbath come. But so it was always Shabbat. It means to stop and rest in Him. Stop and rest in Him. And that's something that we're going to have to make sure that we take some time to do. The Shabbat means to stop and rest in Him. Him meaning the Lord. The Pesach, if you see there, or what we call Passover, that's redemption, the blood applied. The Pesach, or Passover as we call it, that's redemption. How many of you know we've been redeemed? What did God do when He took the children out of Israel? He went and redeemed them. Because they were slaves for over 400 years under Pharaoh. But what did God do? He went and redeemed them. Now, there was a cost to get them. What did they have to do? They had to take a lamb and had to slay the lamb and then apply the blood to the doorpost. It cost a life in order for redemption. How many of you know you can't be redeemed without a life paying for it? That's what Christ did for all of us. That's why He's called the Lamb of God. He's called the Lamb of God because that lamb was slain and the blood's applied. Now, if you don't apply the blood, there's no Passover for you. What happened to the Egyptians that didn't apply the blood? The firstborn died. You have to apply the blood. So folks say, "Well, I'm just going to go to church and do it the way I want." Well, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. But it doesn't apply. If you don't apply the blood, there's no salvation. And you can make up your own ideas. You can write your own storyline. I'm telling you, the Word of God says if there's no blood applied, you are not born again. You're not saved. No matter what you think. Listen, just because a man can think don't make it right. It don't matter what I think. I'm telling you what the Word of God says, and it won't change for me or you or anybody else unless you apply the blood. So you say, "Well, how do I do that?" The Bible says, "Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus." So you got to open up your mouth, let a little wind go through the trumpet, as we talked about last night, and talk to God. You know, all prayer is talking to God. People say, "Well, I can't pray." What, you can't talk? I've heard folks talk, you ask them to pray, and they quit. That's like their talker quits working. It's all it is talking to God. You can talk to your friend. You got to just change over, and you're talking to God. That's what prayer is, just talking to God. So you tell God, say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I recognize that. How do I know I'm a sinner? Because I broke your laws. And I didn't keep Torah. I didn't keep your commands. The Tanakh is not something that was readily on my mind. Your word, your promises. I wasn't thinking about that. I was doing my thing. But I realized I broke your commands. So I know I'm a sinner because I missed the mark. So I'm asking you to apply the blood of Jesus in my life. When you do that, you're redeemed. That's called the Pesach or the Passover. The next one is matzah. Matzah. That's where we get unleavened bread. The matzah is the name of it, the unleavened bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The matzah is go and sin no more. Remember the woman's caught in the very act of adultery? She brought before Jesus, and he tells her, he says, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "I have none." He said, "Neither do I accuse you." What did he say? "Go and sin no more." That's what matzah represents, the unleavened bread. So once the sin's removed, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not what we do. Are you going to mess up? Probably so. What do you do when you mess up? You have an advocate with the Father. He's just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So understand those principles that all of these things apply. Listen, when you study the scripture out, you take the time, everything connects. So matzah is the unleavened bread. The next one, when you look at this one, I want you to understand, it's called in the Hebrew, Bikurim, and it's called first fruits. He is risen as the first fruits of the harvest. He is risen as the first fruit of the harvest. That's the resurrection. So when he rises, he's the first fruit among many. How many know there'll be many that's going to rise? Not just Christ will rise. He's the first one to rise. There'll be many. He's the first fruit among many brethren, he says. Among many. How many want to be counted in the many? You can be. You can't. Not a person here. There's not one person here where you'll be excluded from those who rise again. It's all up to you. That way, when you stand before God on that great day, that great white throne judgment, when you stand before God, you will never be able to say that nobody told me that I can rise again. You're hearing it today. Not one person here needs to be excluded from that resurrection. You can rise again. That's what the word says. Christ was the first fruit. Many can rise after that. Many of you. And that's something that I want you to keep in mind because it is most important. That's what's so exciting about serving God. I'm promised the resurrection. Even if you die. Isn't that amazing? Even if you die. You know, because a lot of times we think about all the wonderful people we knew in our life that passed away. Well, listen, they're promised the resurrection. Though you die, yet shall you live. That's what he says. And so that's important. That's the thing that excites and should drive you about serving God. The next one is Shavuot. Shavuot, again, is the Hebrew term, how it said. It means empowered by the Spirit and the Word. That's Pentecost. We call it Pentecost. Empowered by the Spirit and the Word. How many know that God wants us to be empowered? There's nothing that feels worse than when you're in a situation and you feel powerless to get out of it. And it's good to have people to call on. There's nothing wrong with that. You can call on people to pray for you. But then it's going to come a time that you're going to have power as individuals. And God doesn't want you just to rely on other people. You can have power. You hear, every person here, you can have power. You don't have to be powerless. You can have power. You get it by the Spirit and the Word. And that's what God wants you to have. Amen? Now, I have a question here, and I want to see if we can answer this. Will we have faith? Will we have faith? At this time, Yom Teruah, the blowing of the trumpet blast is going to happen, and we have to come to a realization when that alarm sounds, it's going to be a time like you've never seen on this planet. We've been dealing with that. It's going to be a rough time. The question is, will you have faith? Will you have faith? And I'm going to show you this and take a little time for me to build this, but I'm going to show you in the Word so you can take notes, go back, and study it out for yourself so you'll see what I'm talking about. The 12 spies in Numbers 13, if you read that, they went to the land. Moses told them to go out, and he said, I want you to tour the land. Tour the land. He didn't just say go and peek through the grass and just kind of see. He said, tour the land. This is not a small land either. Understand, they dealt with Jericho right away, but that was one small city compared to a lot of the big cities around. There were lots of land. So they toured the land. Numbers 13:20 said, now the time was the time of first ripe grapes, and this was June and July. All right, this was around the time of June and July. What was the report, the testimony of the promise? So we're going to look at all of these things I want to cover, dealing with what the 12 spies went out to tour the land. So they go out, and they tour the land, and there's some things that are happening. They go out, and first thing, there's 12 of them, and they begin to go throughout all the land, and they start to see some things that shakes them up quite a bit. And they said, you know, there's no doubt. They come back and they said, you know, there's no doubt the land is flows with milk and honey. It's beautiful. But there's some problems. The people are great. The cities are great. Because Moses said, go and see if they dwell in tents or they're fortified. That was one of the things he said. They come back and said, they're fortified. There's no doubt about it. And he said, there are giants in the land. The sons of Anak, which is the direct descendants of the Nephilim. Now, we read Genesis 6 before, and we've been doing that study. And all of these things, remember, it doesn't make a difference where you teach in Scripture. If you can, the dots always connect. There's not a story you can take out of the Bible and it sits alone and it's the only story that matters. They all matter. Every one of them matter. And so what happens is they say the Nephilim, or the fall, they're descendants of the fallen ones, the fallen angels, who took the daughters of men in Genesis 6 and bore children by them, and those men became mighty men, men of renown. They were in the world of those days and also afterwards, after the flood. So that's why God took the flood and destroyed the world, because of all of the genetic mutation that was going on between fallen angels and human women. And you go study it out for yourself in Genesis 6 and look at it. If not, you can ask in the back and they'll give you some CDs on that so you can listen to it for yourself. But here we find children of Israel's been delivered. Here they are. They're going to tour out the land. And the first thing they encounter is some serious problems. Now, I don't want you to understand that. When is this taking place? In summertime. This is taking place in the summertime. So remember that. Summer. It's summertime and this event's going on. Now I want to talk to you about that a little bit, because I want you to understand we dealt with spring feasts. And between the spring and the fall feast, we have something goes on called what? It's the harvest. And what is that time? Summertime, right? And so I want to show you that how all of this links together as we approach in the fall feast or the fall time, and we're dealing with Yom Teruah. And this is important. It's valuable that you understand. I want you to take some time to read those scriptures so that you can understand them. In Numbers 13, read what happened when the spies went there and they saw all of this going on. So what did they do? They said, we can't take this land. We're not able to. We're so tired. We're beat. It's hot. We're tired. There was one that come up and spoke, and then another. One was Caleb. Caleb said, well, I'll tell you, why don't we go take them right now? I know they're great. And I know, and this is what they said. He says, we are like grasshoppers in their sight and also in our sight. They had already created a position that we're so small, we're so weak, it's so hot. Now, no doubt, this is what they said. There's no doubt that the land flows with milk and honey. They took a cluster, one cluster of grapes, one cluster, and they had to bear it between two men on a pole. So the pole's on the shoulder of two men, and one cluster of grape was on that pole. That's what the scripture says. They said there's no doubt about it. They took the pomegranates, the scripture said, the fig. They said it's amazing. Now you got to understand, the manor had quit. There was no manor. Once the Bible says they entered the land, the manor ceased. So they have to eat from the land. And Moses told them, he said, you eat from the land. But they didn't. Did they possess the land? They didn't possess it, but they ate from the land. From then on, they would eat from the land. And how many know that the enemy, what he wants you to do, he wants you to get burnt out so you're not ready when the trumpet sounds. But here's the thing that God does. Don't you know that God knew there would be that time between the spring and the fall? Don't you think God knew that? Don't you think that that would be the time where you can be most vulnerable and you come under the most severe attack? And get to a point where maybe we're not awake? So what does he do? He sounds the alarm to wake us up. He's letting you know, I'm coming. And that's why we celebrate Yom Teruah, because it's the time that he will blow the alarm. Well, look at what it says here. Let me bring this back up. And I mentioned this last night, but didn't read it. Let me read it today. Matthew 25, verse 1. Through 13. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent or wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in a flask, along with their lamps. Now watch this verse 5. It's key, and I underline the very important principle here that we got to look at. Now when the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. How many?
All.
How many?
All.
All. They all got drowsy and began to sleep. All 10 of them. Now, you know, we studied about the five and the wise and the 5 foolish, and we kind of go on and we just focus on 5 wise. And then we talk about the 5 foolish, but I want to focus on they all got drowsy and began to sleep. All of them. When did they do that? When the bridegroom delayed. When does his delay happen? What is it considered? What time of the year does his delay happen? Summer. In the summer. When did they enter in to spy out the land? What time of the year? Summer. Do you see? So I know we want to talk about the issues here, but what does it take in order for you to have a better report during the summer? It takes a different spirit in you. Because that's what Caleb and Joshua had. They had a different spirit in them. They had a different wind or ruach out of their trumpet, blew a different sound. Are y'all here? So you have to get the wind of God for the trumpet to sound right. Because if not, without the wind of God, without the ruach, without the pneuma, that blowing through the trumpet, your report's going to be the same. It's always going to be a negative report. And you're going to resist. This is what happened. I say it all the time. There's a resistance within the family. A resistance. Because the wind's wrong. We're so busy looking at what somebody else is doing, we can't hear from God. And God says, settle down now have no resistance within the family. Let the wind of God blow through the trumpet when you hear that sound. You remember what I talked about in 1 Corinthians last night? It says when the uncertain sound, if it's uncertain, who's going to prepare for battle? No one. We got to know what the sound is. We got to be familiar with the sound. And this is what God is pointing out to us. Now, I want you to take note of this. All got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a what? A shout. That word shout is teruah. That's teruah. There was a shout, an alarm at midnight. Now, I want you to understand the timing here. What is that midnight? There was a shout. Did that mean he came? No, it's the alarm. He's telling you, I am coming, and I'm coming soon. Now, it's going to be sooner now than it ever been, because what happened? The shout took place. Behold, the bridegroom comes out to meet him. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us. And you too, go instead to the dealers, buy some for yourself. And while they were going away to make the purchase... Notice that. There's a time period. There's a gap. They're going away to make the purchase. What happened? The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. What happens when the door is shut? That's over. Let me ask you this question. When God shut the door on the ark in the days of Noah, how many got saved after the door was shut? None. Only the eight that were ready. Heard the alarm and got in. Once the door shut, how many get saved? None. Keep that in mind when you study in the scripture. I know we want to pull out favorite scriptures and we think we're gonna have second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. Well, I don't know how you get to that. When the door shut, nobody gets saved. So that's why you got to get saved now.
That's it. Now.
Amen?
Yes. Now.
So we're going to have a you know how they come, they say, make these statements, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting? Well, that's more serious now than ever before to me. If you're going to come to Jesus, you better do it before the door shut. Because he's saying, come. We're sitting down trying to figure it out. Well, I don't know. If you don't know, who knows? How long do you want to go through the summer of life? What happens in the summertime? Anybody's ever been working and you working so hard and it's so hot and you're getting tired and all of a sudden you kind of sit down and you kind of not so much out where the sun's beating on you, maybe just a reflection, and it's kind of sitting there and all of a sudden you go, you kind of look around. Sort of like some of you do in church when I'm preaching. I got to turn these lights on or something. They're heating you up. That's what happens when you get a little, just a little warm on you. All of a sudden, man, I'm so tired. That's what happens in the summer. You get lethargic. You get worn out. You get tired. And that's when an enemy, what he says, I'm going to get you right there. Because the bridegroom delays during the summer. But he's going to change that in the time that we're coming into. Amen? So we ought to know this season. This time of the year is the fall feast. We ought to know it. In September, we ought to be prepared. Why do you think the enemy has planned and purposed everything that he's going to do in the month of September? When did 9/11 happen? When is the Pope going to come and speak before Congress? First time ever happened in history of popes. Are y'all here? When are they going to supposedly dismantle Jade Helm? When is CERN, with this collider, the largest collider machine in the world, who believe they have the God particle, when are they going to do their test? See, the devil wants God's month, but he can't have it. Because one thing he don't have the wind that can blow the shofar. He doesn't have that. That wind of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you, God's got it, and he sent it to us, so we have it. There's an advantage to the church if we'll just follow the steps that God has supplied for us. Amen? How many realize now how important it is to have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? Very important. Because you'll blow the trumpet, but it'll be an uncertain sound. Who's going to respond? So keep that in mind. Once the door shut, we have trouble. There was a short time passing between the shout and the actual coming. A short time. What's the short time we're about to celebrate? Remember I told you last night. 10 days of awe starting tomorrow. 10 days of awe. So I want you to keep that in mind. Very important. So could it be the 10 days of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement? I'm just asking a question. Take some time and go study for. So listen to what I've, through my investigation of the scripture and going back and clearing my mind of any presupposition and saying, Lord, teach me your word. We have the alarm blow on Yom Teruah. We started that yesterday evening, all the way through Sunday evening. What is happening with the moon phase right now? What's happening with the moon phase? The little sliver is going to be seen. You need to look at it. It's going to be shown. What does that happen when that's shown? The trumpet sounds. The trumpet, that's the alarm. So what is God going to do before he returns? Before he returns, he's going to sound the alarm on Yom Teruah. Then we have a gap. Because they told him, go and buy. And by the time they got back, he had already come. We have 10 days. Could it be the 10 days to Yom Kippur on the Day of Atonement? Think about it. These are important. And then there's a trumpet that blows during that time, and it's considered to be the last trumpet. Who blows that trumpet? Wow, we're going to learn that today. Right? We want to know, don't we? Who blows that trumpet? It happened already. It's not going to be the first time. It happened one time before that this trumpet got blown. One time. And we'll look at that. We're going to try to get to this as much in depth of this as we can. Later, the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, verse 11, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Notice that. Be on alert, for you don't know the day or the hour. So this is important information. Now, in all accounts, we're dealing with people who attend church, all 10 of them. We have 5 that are wise, 5 that are foolish. Not to mention all of them, the wise and the foolish, were drowsy and fell asleep. But the alarm sounded. Did it awake all of them? They all awoke. But when they awoke, 5 were prepared to meet the bridegroom, even though they fell asleep. And I'm telling you, I believe in a spiritual sense, the church world today is asleep. And I mean across the board. So if you think we're not sleeping, we're in that group also. We're part of the church. We gotta realize that when the alarm sounds, if we're sleeping, we have better been prepared before we took our nap. Because you take your nap without being prepared, meaning you'll put sleep ahead of preparation. You'll find yourself missing when the door is open for you to enter in with the bridegroom. Amen? Yom Teruah. Let's look at this. Yom Teruah. Yahweh is calling his people to wake up and to hear the sound of the trumpet today. So we ought to be set, and it would be something that is we get in the habit of doing. Yeah. You say, can we get in the habit of doing something? Listen, I'm going to do a test. You ready? I need everybody to shout really loud. All right, this is a test. I'm going to shout really loud. I want you to name, it's called Name the Holiday. Okay? Now, everybody together, you're going to name the holiday. All right? Bunnies, eggs, and chocolate.
Easter.
All right? Jingle bell, jingle bell.
Christmas.
Look how good, I mean, y'all the smartest bunch. It's absolutely amazing. But here's the thing that the church is sleeping on. If I'd have come here, now you know, right? And I'd have said, trumpet sound. You get my point? See, we up to speed on everything else that the world has initiated with a little Christian veneer on it. See, we're up to that. But if I come here and say the trumpet blast, you ought to be able to say Yom Teruah just as loud. Comes to you like that. Do you get where I'm going with this? We're sleeping. And it's time for us to wake up and get this, because if we don't, we're going to miss it. And once the door shut, how many get saved? None. And so keep that in mind, especially when you're doing your own study. Remember I gave you this verse last night, 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So he's telling us to awake, awake, awake to righteousness. How many know God wants us to wake up to righteousness? Another verse I want to give you, Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So what is the condition that he said we would be in? Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians. He writes again to the church at Ephesus. What does he say the condition is? Asleep, because he uses the word awake. I'm thinking he's on to something. Leviticus 23:23-25. Let me read the text to you so you can be familiarized with it again. These are texts that I read almost every time, especially starting this series. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath. Now he's going to tell us what to do. You shall have a what? A Sabbath, the word is Shabbat. I gave you that at the beginning. The word Sabbath came in much, much later, but the real word that he talks about in the original Hebrew is Shabbat. So the Sabbath. So you got to have a Sabbath. A memorial. So it's got to be something that, to help you with your memory. How many know we get helped with our memory? By learning the whole systematic way that any holiday comes along. So what happens? It triggers our memory. If you're trying to remember somebody's birthday or their anniversary, you try to practice that and say, okay, at this time of the year, this month, I got to remember this. It's important. So it helps you with that. And same thing here. He said it needs to be a memorial, something, a memento. It's where we get the word memento from. It has to be something in your memory. How many's ever kept any mementos of any time of travel, whatever? I have mementos. Brother Herman, run to that table, the missionary table in Nepal, and get me that rock. I think I got that rock out there. It's a memento. I was in Nepal in missions. We'll be leaving out here the end of the month. We'll be back in Nepal for 2 or 3 weeks ministering the word of God. And I've been really praying and seeking the Lord concerning this. But this is a memento. This stone come off of the Rapti River, and there were many stones, but this stone was something that was important to me because the Lord had to speak to me concerning some prophetic utterances in my life. So I kept the stone, and I keep it out there as a memento. It reminds me of something that happened. That's a memento. So he says, it shall be a memorial to you. You have to have a memorial for this time of the year. It has to be something you do. That's why he made it a feast time, a time where people would come together. Now watch this. A memorial, here's the next, a blowing of trumpets. A blowing of trumpets. How many think that would help us to remember this memorial? Then he says a holy convocation. A holy convocation. So it's got to be a time that you gather, a time that we gather and congregate. These important principles that he lays out for us. Verse 25, and ye shall do no civil work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And so he's telling us these things. And these things that we'll continue to learn as we go on. Numbers 29, verse 1 through 6. There's two times that it's distinctly mentioned, but many, many times that Yom Teruah is mentioned throughout the Scripture. But here's the two times distinctly that he wants us to take note of. Numbers 29, verse 1 through 6. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no several work. It is a day of blowing of trumpets unto you. And you shall offer a burnt offering of sweet savour unto the Lord. One young bullock, one ram, seven lambs in the, of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with all, 3/10 deal of a bullock and 2/10 deal of a ram. And 1/10 deal of one lamb throughout the seven lambs and 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Now that last part, I want to really look at that. So he says you're going to need 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering. Notice that. Now why are we going to keep that sin offering? And we got 10 days. We got 10 days before we're going to use that goat. When are we going to use him? On Yom Kippur, because that's the Day of Atonement. That's the sin offering that's to atone for you. Now, how many know that all of this has been already done for us in Christ Jesus? But it should be a memento to us. So what are we supposed to do to remember when he sounds the alarm? The alarm sounds, we should gather together. The holy convocation. It should mean something to us. This time of the year, every year from here on out, should mean something to you, more so than any of the pagan holidays that we mean a lot to us. Way more than that. You can't have one mean more than the one that you're going about to hear the alarm. You're going to wake up. All is going to be, you're going to trim the lamp. Get ready. Because at any moment, we don't know what year. See, we don't know what year, but we should be ready for whatever year it is. So what do? I trim the lamp. Then I get my... So what do I start thinking about? I think about the lamb that atoned for me for 10 days. I start thinking about the price Jesus paid. I think about his crucifixion. I think about all the stuff that he went through for me. I think about all of those things. And come the day of Yom Kippur, then I realize that here I am. I'm stepping into a time that today could be the day that I see him. Could you imagine how prepping our hearts would be? Can you imagine those moments year after year waiting for that? How many of you ever seen your kids get excited on Christmas Day when they were little? You know, you can't get them up for school no other time. But on Christmas, they don't need nobody to tell them anything. They're right there by the tree. You know, can we, Daddy? Oh, can we, Daddy? That's the truth. I mean, maybe you didn't see it, but I saw that. And I mean, it just, you know, looks like a shredding machine in there. But I think it's a disservice. I really do. Because I want to see my kids do that come Yom Teruah. I'd really like to see them get so excited that they just can't sleep. They're awake. It could be today. I hear the alarm. See, it's a time that we practice the alarm sounding. So what is a rehearsal for anyway? Is a rehearsal the real thing? No. Let me ask you this. I've done rehearsals before, wedding rehearsals. I've done lots of them. None of them go perfect. I mean, they just don't. It's rehearsal, right? And so, but it does help you for the real day. You can think about it, and it seems like that real day, it just kind of lines up. But it's on your mind. But if we wouldn't have rehearsed, you wouldn't have anything to go on. So we're in rehearsal for the real day. Is the rehearsal going to go perfect? Probably not. But I'll tell you what, while I'm going to be better prepared for the real day, but if I don't rehearse, I won't be prepared at all. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be prepared. Because if we're not, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. So remember that kid goat. That's very important because it's the one that atones for us. That's something that's of great value, and we're going to need that. Verse 6, besides the burnt offering of the month and his meat offering and the daily burnt offering and his meat offering and their drink offering according to their manner for a sweet savour and a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. So that all that's talking about is the stuff they had to do. All of those things were done in Christ when he came, and he's done all of the spring feast. Everyone that was done. But now we're in the fall feast. We would remember that. We're to remember that, especially when you're coming out of a long, drawn-out time gap of summer where you've been put through the heat. You've been put through it. Here's a time for you to say, okay, that's behind me. I'm starting fresh right here. I'm going to give God the glory. I read this to you last night. I read it every time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. The word them is very important because that's what God uses. That's the biblical calendar. He doesn't use one light. He uses all the lights. The Gregorian calendar goes off of one light. The Muslim calendar goes off of another light. God uses all the lights because he said, let them, all the lights, be for signs, seasons, for days and years. So it's the correct calendar is the one that God puts in the scripture. So when I say the seventh month, don't think July, right? Because that seventh month equals to our September. That'll throw you off when you're reading the Bible. So when you're studying the Bible, make sure you understand that. When you come across the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month, which is the month of Tishri, after Elul, it's the month of Tishri, it's the first day of the month, what are you supposed to be thinking if you're going to convert it? September. That's why we had the service starting last night. Because we want to be on timing. Why do we have it for 2 days? Because it's when the moon is dark. And you appear, the first sliver appears. When it appears, the trumpet sounds. Amen? Is everybody following this? I hope that you are. If not, you could also get the CD there free. And you can listen to it, take your notes out, and go back and study all of these verses of Scripture. Psalms 104, verse 19. He appointed the moon for what? Seasons. What is that word, seasons? Moed. The Moed. He appointed the moon for the seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. So it's very important that you understand. I just put that other verse in there for your understanding so you could see it. Now, I want to go a little bit further in this Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. I want to take some time to bring you through this so we can see what he's talking about when we're dealing with some of these issues that we'll have to be faced with. I brought this to your attention last night about the two silver trumpets. I would like to just recap some of that. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. A whole piece shall thou make them, and thou mightest use them for calling of the assembly, for the journeying of the camp. So they're used for the calling of the assembly and the journeying of the camp. Do you notice that? Why they're not using the ram's horn? Because he said this is very specific to this particular calling. A calling of assembly, journeying of the camp. And so keep that in mind. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What does that mean? Congregate at the door. Why? We're about to leave. What did he tell them on Passover? When they were getting ready, because we have the Passover, but we also have incorporated into the Passover, we have the gathering together. He says, put your shoes on your feet, gird your loins, staff in your hand, and eat in haste, because we're leaving. Where did they do it? Where did they eat? Did they eat at the table like they normally did? No. They stood at the door, and they had the last pass at the door. Where does he gather them at? When he blows the trumpet? At the door. Have the congregation gather at the door. So every September from here on out, we're going to be celebrating Yom Teruah. What is your posture needs to be or your mindset when you come to church? You're going to gather at the door. Because any moment, you understand that. We're going to have the trumpet, the last trumpet will sound. When is he coming back, by the way? The last trumpet. He said the last trumpet will sound. And so these are important. Is this making sense to you? You know, a lot of you might have been reading your Bible, or maybe you've been taught something else. But listen, Again, I'm not saying anything about anybody that taught whatever they taught you. Just take this information, go back and study it for yourself. But I can tell you that this will challenge your understanding. It will. It'll challenge it. So we need our understanding challenged, don't we? Why do people perish? They perish for the lack of knowledge. They have no understanding. So that's why they suffer a loss. And God doesn't want us to suffer a loss. So you congregate at the door. Verse 4. And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. We don't have time to go into that. That's a teaching. But when you blow an alarm, then the camp that lies in the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camp that lies in the south side shall take their journey, and they blow an alarm for their journey. Remember I talked about how big this camp was. So the east camp, then the south camp. Everything has an order, and they heard the alarm. They knew that was the time for that camp to line up and get ready. Again, I read that to you so you could just keep those things in mind when you're studying that. But listen what an alarm is. Teruah is an alarm. A rapid series of nine or more. And this is so important. Because I played the trumpets last night. Now, I played all of the series of trumpets. But in the middle of that series, they heard the one that goes, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. That's the Yom Teruah, or the sound of the trumpet. So it makes these staccatic notes like crying. And it is a reminder to plead for mercy before the king who has come to judge the living and the dead. What are we to do at this time of the year? Plead with the king. He's the judge, so we plead him with him. What do we say? Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me. What do they do when they take the lambs and they kill the lamb and they take the scapegoat, the one goat, and they put the blood, apply the blood to it? They're saying, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. Because it was the atonement that they would need. And so keep that in mind, that we're to plead for mercy before the king who has come to judge the living and the dead. The next one that we see here, and I want you to see all of these things. So we have that alarm. The next alarm is one I think is important. Tekiah Gedolah, a single unbroken blast held as long as possible. Oh my. Is that Yom Teruah? No. That's the alarm. We're going to hear a single unbroken blast held as long as possible, a reminder at the sound of the last great trumpet. The king will be back with power and great glory to rule forever. The king will be back. It's going to be, and when is that one going to take place? Wow. Could it be? Could it be? After the 10 days of awe. That we have the one last blast. Let's look at it. Let's see in the verse 7. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. Uh-oh, that's confusing. Do you see that? But when the congregation is gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. That's confusing to me. If you're blowing but not sounding an alarm, what are you doing? And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. How long should we carry this on? Forever. An ordinance. How many of you know when there's an ordinance, that's kind of a law. And if you break the ordinance, that goes down as the council votes on an ordinance. Once that ordinance is put into a vote, it goes written into the law books. Can you break the ordinance? No, that's what it's an ordinance. What is the ordinance? It's the description of what the law means. And so he said, it shall be an ordinance forever throughout the generations. Throughout your generations is a continual to all of us here. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemy. So you blow the alarm when you go before the enemy. Verse 10, also in the days of your gladness and in the solemn days and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices, your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. And so we see that. What happened when the children of Israel went to Jericho? Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. When they went to Jericho, they blew the trumpets. There was something that was different there. There was something that was not the same. I'm going to point this out to you. I'm going to read a few verses to you, but I want to revisit that. Because I went back and read that account again. There was something that we talked about them blowing the trumpets, but there was something that was missing, and I want to bring that up to you. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up that voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Luke 3, verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The voice of one crying, or blowing the trumpet. That's what John was doing. When John was there and he was saying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, what was he doing? He was sounding the alarm. He was sounding the alarm. What happened next? Jesus comes. Y'all see that? John sounds the alarm. He's crying like one that's in the way. He sounds the alarm. What happens next? Jesus comes. So you think it's going to change? I don't think it will. But these are things that we miss. We might as well face it. We missed it. But thanks be to God, we're going to be prepared. From every September until the Lord returns, we're going to be sitting here waiting. I hope you're here with us. I hope you're sitting in this place with us, preparing for the return of the Lord when he comes back at the second time. And we're going to be poised and ready. We're going to be thinking about the things that he done for us at that time. I want to be ready. How many here want to be ready? Amen. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That word shout is the same equivalent as teruah, with the blowing of the trumpet, a blast. So the Lord himself with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, here we go. I'm going to write it for this. And with the trump of God. We're going to stop right there. With the trump of God. I want to tell you that the trump of God blasted one time before in the scripture. The Bible says they came to the Mount Sinai. And all of a sudden, you got to go back and read those accounts. It's absolutely incredible. Because the more you read it with more understanding, right? The more we understand, you go back and... Has that been your case? It's been my case. Yeah. You go back and reread what you've already read with more information, it starts opening up more and more and more. They come to Mount Sinai, and all of a sudden, there's a voice. And it's continuous and so loud that the people begin to say, please stop. That was the trump of God. I'm going to tell you that I'm convinced that the last trumpet is going to be the trump of God. He's going to be the one that blows the shofar. You talk about a blast. Now, how long do you blow that? As long as possible. I want to ask you, is there any limit? Do you understand? There's no limit. When he blows the shofar, whoo, my. I can see now why the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to get the shakes in the knees. It's going to look like they had too many to drink.
Yeah.
What is that? And when they're going to look toward the sound that Almighty God blows the shofar, the last trumpet will blow, then the Son, the only begotten of the Father, is going to appear with great glory, the Bible says. So much so that he will destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet just by coming, his appearance. Because let me tell you, one of the things that the Yom Teruah sounds, it sounds an alarm for the Melech. It's called the Melech, the crowning of the king. I believe when everybody looks, the crown will be set. And he's going to let everybody know, here he is. My son is going to rule and reign, and this planet will be renovated. I mean, thank God that the great renovator is coming. His name is Jesus. Amen? So this is important stuff. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. How much this trump is going to affect the dead raise? People been dead for a long time. Get up. Because it's not your ordinary alarm clock. This is a blast on the shofar as long as possible. You know, let me tell you, God's just going to have to stop himself before we can get the rest of the stuff done, because he don't really need a stop. When he starts to, when he takes the breath and blows, let me tell you, there's no limits to how powerful that is. Amen? So, verse 20, so the people shouted. The people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. Now, I'm back in Joshua 6. I'm sorry, I didn't prep you for that. But verse 20, remember I said I'd revisit this? Because I want you to look at something here and investigate it with me. The people shouted with the priests when the police blew the trumpets. What, they've been blowing trumpets for 6 days. Now they're blowing them on the seventh day, but they're really blowing them. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. Now I want to tell you, go read it in the original language. And it says, when they heard the sound of the Melech. When they heard the sounds of the trumpet being blown by God. So I'm asking you, go back and investigate it. Do we have not only the shout of the people, the trumpet blast of the priests at Jericho, but do we have another trumpet blow that begins to just annihilate the walls so the people enter in? You got to go look at it, because in the original, there's something that it says there, and that's something that I want you to take some time to take some, to go investigate it, because it's absolutely. So do we have the blowing of the Aleph Tah? It'll say that, the Aleph Tah. So the beginning and the end. So you can take some time, go look at that. I just wanted to point that out to you. The people shouted with a great shout once. So they were already shouting when the priest blew the trumpet. And when they heard, it came to pass when the people, and I'm reading it from our translation, so I didn't bring out the original. You can go back and look it up. It's absolutely incredible. The people heard the sound of the trumpet. The people shouted with a great shout, and the walls fell. And this was what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But I wanted to point that back out to you. In Zechariah, we got a couple more, and we're going to find a place here to just stop. And then we'll finish the rest tonight. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 through 16, it says this. As for thee also, by the blood of the covenant. Notice what Zechariah is talking about, the blood of the covenant. So do we have a blood covenant in the Old Testament? Well, absolutely we do. By the blood of the covenant, I have sent forth my prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to strongholds and prisoners of hope, even to the day do I declare that I will render double unto thee. when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow of Ephraim, and raised up thy son, O Zion, against the son, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning. Now watch this. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Who's going to blow the trumpet? Yahweh, our God, is going to blow the trumpet. Now I'm convinced more and more, the more I read in the text, that the last trumpet is going to be blown by Almighty God. He'll blow that trumpet. Then the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corner of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flocks of his people, for they shall be as stones of a crown lifted up as an insignia upon his land. So we see again in that text that the Lord will blow the trumpet or the shofar. The shofar is used together as well as war. And we've seen that in Nehemiah 4:19-20. And he said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We are separated upon the wall. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to start right here in Nehemiah. And we're going to talk about we are separated upon the wall. And I believe that is exactly why we're not seeing the authority and the power of God released in the world today through the church. We are separated upon the wall. I'm going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to wrap up Yom Teruah. Prepare you for Yom Kippur. I will be talking about Yom Kippur tonight just to prepare you for the 10 days, praying and fasting, making and getting ready for the atonement. It's a serious business. Who wants to go before God and not be clean? We want to go before him clean. How do we get clean? Through Christ Jesus and what he did. The blood has to be applied. So you're going to have 10 days to make preparations to apply the blood. Make sure the oil's in the lamp. Make sure all that is lit and ready to go. Because at that time, when the bridegroom comes, you got to be ready. And if you're not, the door will be shut. No man can be saved. And so don't miss God. I want to tell every one of you here, there's no reason for you to. And let me tell you something. If your appetite for the world is more than everything I just told you and how good God is, then go on and enjoy yourself. Matter of fact, double it up. Go and have yourself a double good time, because when it's over, you bet that's all you'll have in your memory. Boy, you can say, you know what? This world don't mean that much to me, but what means to me is that God would give his only begotten son to die for me. That he would love me that much, even while I'm a sinner. I want to be prepared for him, and I want to welcome him when he returns to take the throne of David. And that's what he's going to do. Yeah. He's going to set up the kingdom, and it'll be in Jerusalem. I know everybody's against Jerusalem. Everybody's got all their guns pointed to Jerusalem, got all their nuclear weapons pointed to Jerusalem. You think that bothers God? It doesn't bother. It bothers us. Because we're susceptible to that stuff. But it doesn't bother God. You think that's going to stop God from coming? It's not going to stop him. When he says, son, go, it's done, it's nothing going to stop that. And let me tell you, the one thing the devil doesn't want is he don't want to have it said that Christ can take the throne of David. He knows that's what's going to happen. He knows that throne's forever. That's why he wants to destroy Jerusalem. He wants to destroy it, to wipe it out. That's why it's always been that way. It's been a big old fight. 1967, when that Six-Day War happened, Israel took Jerusalem back from the Palestinians, because they had their nation. They were a nation, but they had no capital city. In 1967, Six-Day War, they took it back. I believe right then and there we have an important day in history that we ought to be counting from. And if you count from that day and do the math, I'm telling you, we better get all our September straight. We better get them squared away, because you don't have a lot of time to practice. Your rehearsal days are very limited. And you better count this one as number one. If it's your first, count it and count it with gladness, because you don't have many more Septembers until we're going to see the return of Christ. And you can call that whatever you want. You say, oh my, Pastor Jesse's preaching about the end. Well, that's what you'll be hearing me preach, especially around this time of the year. So if you come here, get ready, because that's what I'll be talking about, because I'm going to rehearse. You want to rehearse with me, you can. But I want to be ready when he returns. I don't want to be found doing something else. And we're going to get down. I'm breaking this down as best I can for us. But there's a lot of things that we really got to get serious about. You know how serious you get with some of the other things we've done all our lives? You get serious. I mean, you go all out and get real serious. We got to get serious with this. And I'll break those things down as we go throughout the year. But right, I want you to get the base of it so where you can start preparing your hearts, because Yom Kippur is coming, and I don't want anybody to come to the services. Now, that'll be a Wednesday, Thursday. Those services will be Wednesday. So Wednesday night, we'll have service. And you say, why a Wednesday night and a Thursday night? I know it's different, but it fell on a Saturday, Sunday, and it fell on now, so Wednesday, Thursday. We're not going to change the days that God appointed. We're going to keep his appointed days. And so we're going to have service Wednesday night, and Thursday we'll be having service. Now, during the day on Thursday, anybody that wants to come here for teaching and understanding on the Day of Atonement, it'll be an extra time to come throughout the day on Thursday. It's easy today because it fell on a Sunday morning. We're already having service, right? So you'll be here on Thursday. Again, I know people got to work. They got all that stuff. There'll come a time where you might have to make some adjustments. Whatever that'll be. But God will deal with us on that, and I believe he has been. Amen? So, again, it's been an honor of mine to speak to you concerning Yom Teruah. Tonight, when I talk about separated on the wall, I want you to be here. Because I believe this, once you hear this, it's going to break down all the dividing walls, all the things that have separated us. Now, you can't decide for somebody else, but you can decide for you. And you can't behave because somebody else has behaved a certain way. You never judge yourself by someone else. Because if the bar set low and you judge yourself by that bar, you're real low. But how do you judge yourself to the Word of God? And you let everybody else do the same. Because God sets that bar, and then we have to match that. And so these are important principles. So I'm going to talk about they were separated on the wall. Very important principle that we got to get cleared up, because we're coming into Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. So tonight I'll be dealing with that. Also, we're going to have the baptismal class at 5 o'clock. You come if you're born again, you saved, you made your confession before the Lord, you've never been baptized, you need to be. It's not an option. Remember that. Baptism, we're not saying if you want to be. We're telling you you have to be. If you need to, because this is part of what God commands. Was Jesus baptized? Was he? All right, then what's wrong with us? Right? So you don't sit down and say, well, I don't know, I haven't decided yet. There's not a decision that you make. You understand? You're already born again. Now he's telling you, after you're born again, it means you came into his family. Now he's going to say, okay, my family members, they're baptized. And it's a showing, an outward show of an inward change. And that's something that we're going to be doing tonight. So if you haven't signed up, you can sign up. You can come to the class at 5 o'clock. I'll give you all the scriptures on baptism. That'll be at 5 o'clock. I think we got 10 or so, maybe 12 already to be baptized. Doesn't matter. If you're here and you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, we don't want to wet you for nothing. Because that's about what'll happen. We can take you outside and hose you down. But you got to be born again. If you're saved, then you should be baptized. Jesus said, I need to be baptized. And he entered into the ministry. So no reason to be baptized if you're not saved. Some people got baptized and they didn't even know about salvation. I would think you better consider redoing that. So you're following the commands of God. We're giving you the opportunity. It's going to take place right here tonight. Last time we were baptized, 12 or 13, I think it was, something like that. Awesome time. The Spirit of the Lord moved, touched people's heart. Yeah. We want you to be involved in this. We want you to be a part of the church, that we're learning the things of God. We're following the commands of God, living out the Torah, and we want to understand the Word of God. Amen? So I want to tell you, I'm thankful for you being here. Now I want to ask you this. If you're here today, you never made a commitment. Last night, we talked about the silver is crushed, then the water's mixed in the acid. Then it begins to clean it up. Then it's put in the fire so it congeals it back together. So if it takes it from the crushing, congeals it back together. Now we have the solid silver. And then what does God do? He hammers it out. Sometimes you go look at God and say, God. And that's what you see Christ went through, all those processes. It gets hammered out to be made the trumpet. Remember, silver trumpet has to be hammered work. Now we have the silver trumpet. We're not blowing a horn from the goat. We're blowing a silver trumpet. I'm just wondering what it'll be like when God, the Almighty, blows the trumpet. What an awesome time that's going to be. Amen? You're going to feel it just go right through you. So if you're here and you never made a decision to serve God, you can. As no, we don't coach anybody into it. It's up to you. You decide. We have a special prayer you can pray. We don't have you come forward. If you want to, you can. That's up to you. I'm here to tell you, we look at everybody, we go around, we commerce. Anybody's ever commerced? You go around, you shop, you do all that stuff, you interact with people, and then when it comes to church time, somehow or another, we think, well, yeah. Our commerce kind of breaks down. We don't even know how to act in front of people. Yeah. So we want everybody's head bowed, nobody looking around, because we're going to try to sneak somebody in the kingdom. What about if we just look at each other? And you looking at me, I'm looking at you. And you ought to know who you're working in the vineyard with. Either I'm real or I'm not. Either you're in the kingdom, we're either in it or not. And we need to look at each other and make that communication, because this is important, and it's important to you. When my daughter was born, I was in the room. I didn't turn my head. I watched her come into the kingdom. It was important to me to watch that. And I want to tell you, I want to watch folk come in the kingdom. I'm for you, not against you. I don't want you to be embarrassed. It's not something to be embarrassed about. You ought to be the proudest moment of your life, because you get born again. That's amazing to me. Only God can do that. How can I be a sinner and do all the stuff I've done and God give me a chance to be born again? That's amazing. It's incredible. So anybody here, you want to be born again, you can. We're going to get everybody to stand. We're all standing together. If you want to be born again so you can be a part of the kingdom of God, you can. If you've never made that decision, well, you've repented. And remember, it's true repentance. You say to the Lord, God, I've done these things. Nobody made me do them. Now, let me tell you something. I don't want anybody to make a mistake about this. When we come at this time of the year, this should not be fear-driven. All right? You don't grow a church by fear driving people. That's not how you grow a church. If you do it out of fear, I can tell you God knows it. You're not accepted. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. Not fear. You don't come to God because you're afraid that you'll miss him. That's not why you come. You come to God because he's God. And he's the best thing ever happened to you. You done tried everything else. You tried it all. None of it works. You come to God because he's the best thing ever happened to you. And you're not ashamed to tell anybody that. I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to live for him. And that's what you're telling people. By your commitment. By your dedication. So that's why he said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You got to confess that. Let somebody know that you're, listen, I'm on your side. I'm saying I made a confession today, and I'm glad to be in the family of God. Let somebody know in this building. That's it. You tell somebody. You ought to at least tell two or three people before you leave. Say, hey, I was praying at the end of the service. I prayed, and I made a commitment to the Lord. I just want you to know it. And that's good, so we can be accountable to one another. That way, if you're struggling through something, if somebody knows that and they can check on you and find out, hey, you okay? Yeah. You okay? And they might say, yeah, I'm struggling. Yeah, I remember I did the same thing. I struggled through that. But the grace of God is good, man. They tell you, just keep pursuing God, and He'll strengthen you and cause power to come to you. So we're going to pray. We pray right now. If you're here and you never made a commitment to God, well, you said, I'm sorry, it was me, Lord, nobody else but me. I did it. I sinned against you, and I'm sorry I've ever done that. I'm asking you to forgive me. And I realize that Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God, is the only one that can save me by the blood that He shed at Calvary. Yeah. And I accept that blood. I accept the Passover. I receive it. And I apply the blood. Now my sins are forgiven. That's how your sins get forgiven. It's called the grace of God. It's God's grace to us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. The question is, will we have faith? Will we have faith? I asked that question. You remember that question? I hope it still sticks in your mind. Will we have faith to walk in the land amidst all the struggles of giants, the Nephilim? All that stuff that we're entering into is going to be happening on this. Are you going to have faith to say, I'm going to stand no matter what? No matter what type of persecution? Listen, if folks can't get saved without being embarrassed, you think they're going to make it if they start getting persecuted? They're not a chance. First chance they get to sell out the body of Christ, they'll sell them out in a heartbeat. So don't give me this embarrassment stuff. Anybody ever sinned in the public here?
Amen.
Where somebody saw it? Anybody? Where somebody actually seen you sin?
Yes.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Then why do we got to get saved in the private?
Mm-hmm.
Get saved in the private. Don't be ashamed of God. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed to you before my Father. So you're going to go before God, and Jesus is going to go, oh, not him. I'm ashamed of him, and Father's going to have no choice but to do. Hey, get out. You're ashamed. But he said, don't be ashamed of me. And that's what I don't want to be. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and salvation to them that believe. That's what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. How many here are not ashamed of the gospel? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to empty our seats out. Everybody that's not ashamed of the gospel. And we're going to come stand up here, and we're going to close this service with a prayer. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Thank you, Father. What an amazing God we serve. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I want to tell you, all of you, first of all, thank you for being here today. We're going to pray together. If you're here today and you never made a commitment, you can. I mean, you might have been to church a couple of times. You might have been visiting here and there. That's no commitment. Going to church has no commitment. The commitment is an actual speaking out of your own mouth so you can hear it with your own ears. And you make a commitment to the Lord. It's called a contract. You tell God something that you're going to do, and then He tells you what He's going to do. So on behalf of God, because He said it in here, I can speak what He said. He said this, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white as wool. That's what He said. Don't make a difference how bad it's been. He said, if you let me come in, I'll change everything about you. Now, this is what He says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any, that includes this whole group, if any will let me in, I'll come in. I'll sup with him and he with me. That's pretty powerful stuff. But you notice what He does? He knocks before He comes in. I believe He's knocking on some hearts today. And I'm asking you to respond to Him. Just respond. You don't have to do it for me. You got to do this for you. He's knocking on your heart's door. Do you want Him in? Tell Him. Say, come on in, Lord. And when He comes in, you got to be ready and prepared to let Him do what He wants to do. And what is He going to do? He's going to get all the junk out. He's going to clean the place. It's cleaner than it's ever been. I mean, clean it. Let me tell you the danger about having it clean. The devil is going to come and peek in. And you're going to see it all clean. And if you don't do something to fill it in the furnace, that clean slate, the enemy will enter back in, and it'll be 7 times worse than it was when you started. I'm just giving you information to prepare you. That's how the devil is. I know some folks. Hey, I know some guys. Some of the guys here, they've been through that 7 times harder. Yeah. They can tell you it's tough. Your brain hurts trying to figure all this stuff out because you're so confused. You don't know what. But that's not what God wants for you. So let me tell you. I'm going to tell you this. I speak for God because His Word says I can speak what He says. Now I'm going to let the devil know that he's a liar. There's no truth in him. Listen, I don't like him, he don't like me, and I think that's well known. I tell him all, I don't care for him. I don't have no care for him whatsoever because I see in the scripture that he's a liar and the father of every lie. All he's ever done was hurt people. Listen, there's been a lot of people that's been hurt over the years through this, what I'm calling this long summertime. This long summertime we've been going through. Summer, it's been long, but there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day at this time of the year that we're going to hear an alarm, and it's going to wake everybody up. And I see people waking up. I really do. I see people waking up. But I'm telling you, this is going to be on a mass scale. But the reason we're not waking up mass scale, we got to get that division on the wall that I'll talk about tonight. We got to get that settled. They're separated on the wall. And we're going to talk about that. But I want to tell you, today there's somebody next to you right now. Now, some of you here, you're born again. You've been baptized. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been in. There's somebody might be next to you that haven't made that decision. So you might want to just join hands with somebody right now next to you. And you don't know. Maybe they know. Maybe they want to tell you. Maybe they'll whisper right over, hey, that's me. But today I'm telling you, we're all together. We're going to make connection, and we're going to pray together. Now, when we pray, I want you just to let the Lord know. You're here. He listens to you. He'll hear you. Praying's talking to God. Just tell Him. Tell Him how you feel, what's going on. And watch God will touch your life in a way. I want to tell you this while we're praying. There's going to be people that you love and you know, family members that you have that has never come into the kingdom yet. I want to tell you this. In the next 10 days, leading up to Yom Kippur, I want you to hear this. Hear me carefully. In the next 10 days, if you'll commit to God through prayer and fasting, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see people that you never dreamed will come in through the doors. And they'll say, we're going to serve God. Make a commitment. Getting ready for the atonement. But you make a commitment to God. You have 10 days of awe. It's called the 10 days of awe. And I believe when we enter into that Yom Kippur, on Wednesday and Thursday, you're going to see some amazing stuff happen. Now, let me tell you something. Healing. There'll be healings happen all throughout this group of people. There'll be healings. The Lord also said that the mind is going to be renewed and restored from all the years that the cankerworm and the caterpillars had devoured up and destroyed. He's going to restore back your memory. And we got 10 days. And tonight we're going to really put this thing to rest and pull us into that 10-day period. So tonight, between the baptisms and the service, I'm telling you, it's going to be something. You want to be here tonight. So this morning, to get us ready, we're talking about people being saved right here in this group. We're talking about people being healed, family members being set free, friends. How many got some friends that you love dearly? You love them. And you don't even know how to bring it up. You don't know how to bring the con. I'm going to tell you, doors are going to start opening up in this 10-day period where you're going to be shocked when they ask you the questions they ask you. And God's going to say, there it is. There's your door. Speak the word. And that's what will happen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Your only begotten Son, the one who came. He died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he ascended back to the Father, and he's seated at the right hand. In that name that is above every name, we ask all this to be done. There's no name given whereby men could be saved but by that name, that mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Jesus. We thank you. We honor you for the price that you paid. You see every person that's here. God, you look down upon this group. You see them. You know the hearts that have not been committed to you, and they want to be. I pray, God, that you would invite them in. They hear the knock on the door. They're saying, come in. Come in my life. Clean me. Purge me with the hyssop. Restore me. Put a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. God, they're listening. They're listening, Lord, that knock. There it is. He's knocking on that door. Let him in. Let him in. God, I thank you for every person that's let you in today. Every person that said, I want you in my life. I need you. Every person that accepts the blood of Jesus for the forgiving of their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that's been shed. Their sins are remitted, and they're now in the family of God. We thank you for that. By grace, we're saved through faith. We receive it. God, I thank you, Lord, in the next 10 days. We're going to see some powerful things happen, even starting today. We're going to see healing in the name of Jesus. Family members that have been broken, that have been torn. It seemed like these families have been separated. God, I thank you for putting them back together. I call husbands into the kingdom. I call wives into the kingdom. I call their children into the kingdom, their neighbors, their co-workers. God, we thank you, Lord, they're coming in the kingdom. We got honor you and glorify you for it. And Lord, every person here that's standing here, holding hands with someone right now, I thank you, Lord, that I ask you as a conduit, Lord, you let the power of the Holy Ghost flow from one to the other, and God, ignite us to do what you called us to do and be what you've called us. We're not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I pray, Lord, right now that the alarm be heard from Yom Teruah. The trumpet blast has sounded. Awake, awake, awake. And Lord, we want to wake and do what you've called us to do. Father, we give you the glory and the honor. And we declare everything that we've spoken here today by the power of your name, the name of Jesus, is declared it so. And he paid the price in full for us to have it. We thank you for it. We honor you. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What a great God. Isn't he good? I want to say thank you so much. We love you. Appreciate all of you for being here. Tell somebody, if you're here, make sure you tell at least two or three people. Say, I made a commitment to let Christ in my life, to give me a brand new start. At least tell two or three people before you leave. We're going to be here at the back door in just a moment to greet everyone. God bless you. Don't forget tonight's service at 6:30.